Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we are not thinking about transferring from this show anytime soon. I'm Tyler Hayward. Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, we are eventually going to work our way to the Josh Jackson conversation and the latest regarding the recruitment of the number one high school player in the country. But first, Ryan McCumber and Mike Sterner, they're with me. We're going to talk a little bit about the departures that have taken place. We're obviously going to focus on Michigan State, but Giddens from Ohio State is leaving. Albrecht from U of M, he's out the door. And, I mean, just seems a good time to announce. If you're not happy somewhere, you might as well say it. Ryan, Mike, how you guys doing today?
Never been better, Tyler. Never been better.
Awesome. You know, Michigan State loses two guys who sit there, and they fight for everything they got. They bleed that green and white for 2 years, and you've never been better. That's good to know how insensitive you are. No, but let's kind of break this down. Let's start with Javon Best, and, well, he was a starter for the early part of the season. Mike, what are your thoughts regarding that? Because unlike the Clark thing, and we'll get to Clark in a second, but unlike the Clark thing, this was a little bit more expected.
Yeah, I would say I think most people thought that Best would be the guy who would transfer. He's really been the consensus guy all over wherever you look. I think you lose a little bit there. You lose some good rebounding. You lose a guy that can guard in the paint from time to time. But he's also a guy who wasn't probably going to play that much next year. We know the recruiting class coming in and even more potential with that. And then in addition to that, he didn't play that much this year to begin with at the end of the year anyway. So, I mean, he's doing what's best for him. I'm pretty sure that he knows, Izzo has told him, you're not going to play that much. So if you want to play, you got to go to a different school. So that's what Javon Best is doing here.
Yeah, and you talked about him sitting down with Izzo, and that's the thing. He's like players individually, year after year, they always sit down with their coach. And Izzo probably told him straight up it would probably be best if you do transfer. I know a friend of the program, Jeremy Pyle, when he was at Western Michigan, he earned his way and he was starting to get into a starting job. He was at the very least, the number two point guard at WMU. And there was another kid who was Western's top priority as far as recruiting goes, and they asked him to go elsewhere. And that was it. It's unfortunate to see it happen because these kids, I mean, they're just, 19, 20 years old? But
yeah.
At the same time, coaches are in a business, and that business is winning basketball games. If it opens up an opportunity to get someone who is a maybe once in every 5-6 year talent as far as what you're capable of getting, because there are 328 schools vying for the same kid, essentially. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes this is the type of thing that has to happen. Ryan, let's get your thoughts on Best. Because I know we've talked about him being the odd man out for quite some time.
Yeah, I think Sterner said it best. I mean, if you expected it, I mean, I thought there'd be attrition no matter what happened after this year. And if you had to take a guess at it, Javon Best was the best guess. I mean, it's too bad because he was hurt last year. I think that really hurt his confidence coming into this year. I liked him coming out of high school. You know, I follow recruiting very closely, obviously. And I thought that he'd be a solid, athletic guy who could, and maybe he could develop a better shot. I knew that he'd be pretty good on the glass. It's unfortunate to see this stuff happen, but, I kind of expected it to. It's, I think that he's some, I don't know if he can compete in the Big Ten on a regular basis and get good minutes. And like we said, Izzo's going to sit down with these guys. He's going to tell them, you know, this is who's coming in. This is what's going on. I don't know if you're going to be able to play much. And he's straight up with these kids. And he doesn't seem like the guy that's going to force anyone out. But he's going to tell them, and these kids want to play. And if they want to play, they're going to go elsewhere. I mean, I wish Javon the best of luck, and it's too bad to see him go. But, I mean, this is what's best for the whole entire program, I think.
I think you and me, we kind of talked about it being like he could be a small school LeBron James type. And, I mean, I'm not obviously not the talent level of it all, but in regard to the how big and strong and fast he is at a smaller school, he's too big and fast for – he's too fast for power forwards to guard. You saw he can rebound at the Big Ten level at the very least. And so these smaller schools, like let's say it is a MAC level school or a Conference USA school. He can have his way in the paint. He can get his rebounds. And if there's a small forward on him, he can take him to the block. He can work on him in the paint. Defensively, you saw it against Middle Tennessee State. At the time he finally did get into the game against the Blue Raiders, it was too late. You know, they were already on fire, and there was no way anybody was going to stop him. And so he ended up but he was playing good defense the whole time. He always had a hand up in the face. He played great in that game on defense. Offense obviously struggled a little bit, and I think that's where this entire issue lies of Best eventually leaving Michigan State. Like we said, we kind of had a feeling that this one was coming. Best is He's got the talent. I think he can really take advantage of his build and the speed and everything like that at a smaller level. And I think he'll get an opportunity, and he'll perform well there. I just don't think that the Big Ten was meant for him. Ryan, you brought up a good point. He had that injury his first year. Coming into this year, he was supposed to be a starter. It helped that Marvin Clark was out. They didn't get the productivity from the four spot that they were hoping, and so then it became musical chairs with Kenny Goins, Colby Wallman. They gave Gavin Schilling some run there, Deontay Davis, obviously, and then you have Marvin Clark. So it was anybody's ball game, and unfortunately, Best didn't live up to the expectations that everybody thought he would have coming in. Tom Izzo said it last year. If he wasn't hurt, he probably would have been a starter. This year he was given that opportunity. He couldn't capitalize on it, and I think his confidence was shaken. Again, Ryan, that was an excellent point that you brought up. I want to get your thoughts now on the other power forward that was leaving, Marvin Clark, because was the big surprise of it all.
I agree with you. That was very surprising. I did not expect to see Marvin Clark go. I'm very sad to see him go. I thought I liked him. I thought he was a very good kid. If you haven't seen the story about him and his upbringing, he was practically living on the streets back home. And it's really unfortunate to see him go. I thought that he was a big part of that Final Four team, especially in that Louisville game. He made some big shots. It's sad to see him go. I did not expect him to leave. Him and Tum Tum Nairn are best friends. He just seems like a really, really good kid. And I think that he could have played well at Michigan State. You got Miles Bridges coming in. I mean, obviously we're going to get Josh Jackson later. He might be coming. There's some guys coming in, and, you know, maybe Clark was worried about the minutes he was going to get, and that's pretty understandable. And it's sad to see him go. I really like Marvin Clark.
You talked about his upbringing and all of that. His biopic, it is on YouTube, so feel free to check it out. It will give you a whole different perspective to this kid. is something else, watching him and realizing what all he brings to the table, because he was a stretch four. And I don't think Bridges necessarily fit that mold. I figure him more to be a three. And so I don't understand that comparison. If there's something I'm missing, feel free to correct me, guys. But Clark was a stretch four. He's the same height as Kenny Goins, so Goins played a little bit bigger. You can get the rebounding with Clark. You maybe didn't get the defense, but you were able to open up the floor. You were able to switch a little bit more on the perimeter. And, I mean, he offered a lot more as far as offensive productivity than Kenny Goins. And so when Goins came in, he started playing well. I was like, yeah, I can kind of understand this. Goins goes down with that injury again. And the next thing you know, not only is Clark filling in for Goins, he's taking minutes from Deontay Davis the way he's playing. The Ohio State game, the Penn State game, every game where Kenny Goins was out, Marvin Clark was the best power forward on the floor. Yeah, Deontay Davis had his flashes, but consistently you could count on Marvin Clark. Mike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm just like Ryan. I'm really, you know, it's upsetting to see him go, but he clearly has his own reasons for going. His playing time probably would have gone down a little bit, and it would have been tested at the very least. And also, you know, he definitely had that conversation with Izzo, I'm sure of it, because that's probably how he formed his decision. And, you know, if there's some things going back home, or there's things that you'd like to tend to be closer to home, that's perfectly fine. We need to understand that as, you know, as fans of the team, you have to understand that, because you can't let basketball be your life if there's other things that need to be taken care of back home. And so he wants to combine his love for basketball, continue that, and go back home. On the floor, we'll miss, you know, I think I'll miss more than anything is the shooting. He made some big shots for being the big guy that he is. He made some really big shots. A lot of people forget that he was really essential in Michigan State's win over Louisville in the Elite Eight last season. He was a big reason why the Spartans got to the Final Four in that game. And it was because of his shooting. And really, he plays clutch in clutch moments. You know, he's made some plays in some clutch moments as a Spartan, and that's what I'm going to miss about it. And he does have a lot of potential. I think if he does go to a Wichita State or something like that, he'll be welcomed there with open arms, and he'll have a very good college career wherever he ends up.
Well, I mean, you said closer to home. Wichita State is much closer. I think that he would fit the system very well, too, just the way that he plays. But so is that kind of the consensus? He's going to go to a high level but a mid-major type school from what you guys have heard?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. I would expect some school in that area of high-level mid-major.
And now let's kind of talk about Best's future, because the Clark thing, it kind of seems like it's a popular consensus. Let's kind of talk about the Best situation. Does he end up going to a MAC school? Does he end up going elsewhere? Keep in mind, he's from Ohio. Does he end up leaving the area? Ryan, let's start with you on this one.
I think that, you know, I think that he goes back to Ohio. Obviously, I'm pulling it out of a hat here. I have not heard anything about this. But I think Ohio U might fit. You know, Kenny Kaminsky's there. So, I mean, that's an interesting situation. You know, they've got a few MAC schools in Ohio that I think could fit him well. And like you said, he's originally from there. And I think that the MAC style of play would fit him very well, assuming he can stay healthy.
Yes. He's strong for a three. He's quick for a four. But he can definitely hold his own in the paint. I mean, like I said earlier, he can hold his own in the paint at the Big Ten level. Mike, is that kind of your general feeling about that?
Yeah, I think he'd either go to a MAC school or maybe like a Horizon League school. There's a lot of Horizon League schools in the general area in Ohio, maybe like a Cleveland State or something like that, too, or a Wright State or Ohio, Miami of Ohio. Any of those schools are really possible. I think that's where he's going to end up. And he could really be an impact player. We've seen several Michigan State players transfer away and have big impacts, you know, from the Garrick Shermans of the world to, you know, you can name several others, you know, that have gone to smaller schools as well. So he could be one of those guys that will be hearing his name down the road on a team that's in the tournament or whatever.
Yeah. I'm not trying to downplay the other leagues. Obviously Michigan State lost to a Conference USA team, but you don't see a lot of these, MAC or Horizon League schools that are in the tournament. You usually only see one, maybe two if you're lucky. And if lucky, that means if a Chris Kamen came through Central Michigan. And, I mean, that's pretty much the only way that you really see multiple schools from either of those conferences in the tournament for the most part. Obviously, there's exceptions to every rule, but let's talk about what this means for Michigan State, Mike, and I want to start with you on this one. What do these two guys leaving, what does it mean?
Well, I mean, it means that you got a whole lot of potential things that could happen. One, I think Kenny Goins gets a scholarship. We were talking about that earlier, I believe. He's going to have a full scholarship. He's shown that for a walk-on from a city like Warren, he's tough and gritty, and he plays big, and he can have a spot on this team. He showed that early on and for this team, and he's gonna have a chance to continue to prove himself. So I think he gets a scholarship. Then you obviously see things like, okay, is Deonta Davis gonna come back? Is he gonna stay here? I know you've talked several times about that's really the most important thing this offseason, is try to bring that guy back. You know, if he can come back, then that sets up a lot of things for the Spartans. And then, of course, you have the whole Josh Jackson talk, which he's yet to make his decision, obviously, but MSU is definitely one of the top choices, and he might be coming to Michigan State. And obviously now there's room with the scholarship, so that'll be very interesting to see what shapes up. I think that those things are all very possible. I'd expect at very least two of those three things to come through for the Spartans.
Well, let's just clear up one thing. Josh Jackson, he made up his mind.
Yep.
The only problem is he has yet to announce it publicly. Right now it appears that the only person who knows that is Miles Bridges, based upon that interview he had with 24/7, where he said, yeah, I know where he's going, but I can't tell you. So he's leaving a lot up to the imagination. I mean, you can sit there and you can try to read the nonverbals, but you also got to keep in mind this kid's, what, 17, 18 years old? Like, to get asked a question like that on the spot about one of your best friends, I mean, it's going to be hard to hold in whatever it is that you're trying to hold in, whether it be one of four words: Arizona, Kansas, Michigan State. So, I mean, it does get a little interesting when you look at the Josh Jackson thing. You brought up a great point with the Kenny Goins thing. I feel like that's the most overlooked aspect of these two leaving, is Kenny Goins does get that scholarship. But you talked about he plays bigger than he is. He's only 6'6". Guy plays like he's 6'8 on the board. Plays great defense. Obviously, Michigan State fans knew that one of these scholarships would end up having to go for Josh Jackson to get an opportunity. But, Ryan, I kind of want to get your thoughts on those situations before we talk about Deonta Davis a little bit more.
Well, what this means is I don't have to get asked about is there a scholarship for Josh Jackson anymore, which is nice.
I'll drink to that.
But, Kenny Goins is – I would be shocked if he's not on a scholarship. I mean, the guy is – I think he's obviously earned it. I agree with Turner on his points. I think the Keontae Davis, obviously, and I agree with you. I'd rather have Deontay Davis back than Josh Jackson coming in if I had to choose. But yeah, the Sterner basically covered all the bases. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious Kenny Goins is going to be on scholarship next year, unless they, for some reason, want to bank one for 2017, which I don't see happening.
Right, because 2017, you are going to have you're going to have a couple scholarships open up. Obviously, Aaron Harris, one, Gavin Tillman being another. I'm drawing some
Ellis.
Ellis is the other one. That's what it is. And so you do have a couple of other recruits that do need tending to. Bowen, Jason Richardson's cousin, obviously would be, I think, the priority of that class. Unless there's been something else that I've not paid too much attention to as I've been following this Josh Jackson train, like, from its last stop. So, I think that that's the biggest issue, is whether or not Jackson is going to have an opportunity to play for the green and white. That's one of the biggest issues, rather. I think the biggest issue is about Deontay Davis. I think that this kind of hints at something, and tell me if you guys think I'm off here. I feel like Deontay Davis is staying.
I agree.
And the reason I feel like that is Bess and Clark are both leaving, which, to me, if you look at it, should Deontay Davis decide to go, you have three post players all of a sudden. That's it. You have Nick Ward, you have Gavin Schilling, and then you have Kenny Goins. You're not going to get a lot of offensive contribution from that. So, if that were the case, you would think that Marvin Clark would have had to stay. Am I mistaken here?
I 100% agree with you. I just don't see. I mean, I think that he should. Davis should at least declare and go to the combine. But I mean, hey, if he wants to stay, I'm all for it, obviously. But I agree with you. Clark leaving was very surprising to me. So I would assume that's got to mean something that. I don't know if Josh Jackson coming would have taken his minutes that much, but, it's not. I think Davis staying would have, because, I mean, if Davis stays, he's one of the better, four guys in the whole entire country if he stays, in my opinion. I mean, it's just, I mean, the development
he can make
in one summer is just huge.
Yeah, and the fact that he's going to be the primary option in the post without Matt Costello, because,
right,
like I said, you're not going to get contributions from Goins, Schilling, and Ward.
I mean,
not
Nick Ward, I think, is going to make. No, I agree with you. I think Nick Ward is the best offensive player out of that group. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think that Deontay Davis is coming back. I mean, it just seems like that sends signals of that. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, the best transfer, like I said, everyone kind of saw coming, opening up the scholarship for Jackson. The Clark transfer, though, it made me start to think, like, he's the fifth big right now. He would be the fifth big, should Davis stay. Mike,
yep.
Are we going to make this unanimous here?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I honestly, I'll go out and say even more. I honestly think that Tom Izzo has said something to Davis that he doesn't think he's ready for the next level or that he could get better. I honestly think that Tom Izzo would have said something. I think Izzo has a history of being very honest with his players about what he feels their future is like. I honestly think Izzo encouraged him to stay because he can get better. Not that he couldn't succeed in the NBA right now. Obviously, he's getting all sorts of love. It could be a lottery pick kind of thing. But Izzo probably said to him, if you stay another year, I could see you being not only a top
a lottery pick, but maybe even a top five pick or better if you stay and improve. And I think that's honestly something that went on. And Davis, we've heard over and over again, is a thinker, and he likes to really analyze things before he makes his decisions. He doesn't really – he's not very vocal, but he really thinks through things, and that's the kind of player he is, you know, on and off the court. So I think that was part of it, too. I don't know if we'll ever hear anything about it, but I honestly have a strong feeling that happened.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Now, the only thing is he going to sit there and is he going to listen to his coach? I mean, like you said, Izzo is honest with his guys. He's honest with Zach Randolph. He was honest with Jason Richardson. I'm going to go out on a limb, assume he was honest with Marcus Taylor, and Marcus Taylor just didn't listen. But a lot of these draft things, they're based on potential. Davis obviously has practically an unlimited amount of it. And so I feel like it would help him to stay, but at the same time, the draft class is weaker this year than it is next year. And so it could end up he ends up getting drafted in the same spot. The only thing is he honed his skills a little bit more at this level. He's able to latch onto a team quicker, and he's able to make more money down the road, I think would be the biggest thing.
Another point to bring up, it's not just about your first contract. It's obviously the second one, and Draymond Green's proved that pretty easily.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just feel like this Clark thing, it kind of hinted at the fact Davis was going, because you have to look back when Michigan State, they had a pretty good core group. I think we talked about Garrick Sherman transferring. Sherman transferred because he was the guy, Delvon Roe got hurt, all of a sudden Michigan State was down to three. The Spartans could have really used Garrick Sherman in their rotation after that, especially if he did end up improving his hands while he was in South Bend. So, I mean, that's the situation I think of when I look at this. When I look at Marvin Clark leaving, I feel like he knew he wasn't going to get playing time. He would get plenty of playing time as a backup, especially with how quick Izzo pulls players after some D-like mental errors. I mean, being the backup in an Izzo system, you can't really ask for much more than that because you're going to get a lot of opportunities, especially if the other guy in front of you isn't performing. Clark proved that, taking minutes away from Deontay Davis at the end of the year. We got a couple minutes left. So you know what, I wasn't going to do this, but let's go ahead and do this anyways. Josh Jackson, where is he going? Ryan, let's start with you.
I mean, I've heard so much mixed stuff on this. It changes like every day, but I mean, I wouldn't be shocked by any of the three teams. But right now, I think he's going to Kansas. I mean, it just seems that way. I'd love to see him come to MSU, but I'm thinking Kansas.
Mike?
You're putting me on the crystal ball. I hate the crystal ball, but I don't know. I'll say, for optimism's sake and just to oppose Ryan, I'll say he chooses MSU and that Miles Bridges and then the rest of the class is the motivation behind it to play with his friends, so...
Yeah, and you hear things about a lot of those crystal balls or whatever on a 24/7's recruiting site. I think it's 57% has him going to Kansas. But then you hear him, how much pressure he's getting from guys like Cassius Winston and Miles Bridges. You're thinking, okay, Michigan State. But then you hear rumors that, hey, Sean Miller suits him better than Bill Self and Tom Izzo do, so you think Arizona. And just to make things really interesting, I'm going to go ahead and say Arizona. So we'll split that three ways, and we'll kind of rejoin this topic. We'll talk about it a little bit when he does end up making his decision, because I do want to take a look at the roster with or without Jackson. So that does it for us today, guys. Thanks for coming on. For Ryan McCumber and Mike Sterner, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.